So I'm going to read, and I like to read it all, so of John 17. And this is Jesus' prayer. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe. By that name you gave me, none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my glory within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and I have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Someone once said that a picture paints a thousand words, and I think there is a lot of truth. It was a song, apparently. Shortly, I'm going to put a slide up. Okay, it is of news headlines over the past week and a bit. Okay, it is a screenshot that I took yesterday. It's not intended, for the record, to make any political statement or to say one particular media outlet is better than another. It isn't about that at all. It's purely an invitation to silently reflect on the world that we live in. So I'll give you a sort of minute or so. Now, I did test the slides this morning, and some of the writing is quite small, so I am literally just going to read them out, but it's not in seeking a response. It literally is just to help people out a little bit. So this is it's a screenshot from this week, different newspapers. So we've got Johnson, and I'm not going to go into what they mean either. Johnson faces punishment and his stitch-up. MI5 Manchester failings and Hancock betrayed. Confidence in COVID probe hit and Sussexes, I can't say that, evicted. Fears for missing baby and Sunak to defy crickets. Critics, even crickets. PM hails Brexit breakthrough, but tensions loom. EU chief to meet Sunak and Italy tragedy. Sunak on Brexit deal and Tory anger over Charles. PM to seal Brexit deal and Ukraine 1 year on. Ukraine's year of blood and let them eat turnips. Asylum backlog, amnesty row and store Caesar's salad. Putin rips up treaty and fruit and veg rationing. You can rest now, Nikki, and Biden's Ukraine trip. It's in this context of the world today and looking back over 2,000 years that I can say these passages mean as much today as when Jesus first breathed them. And I'm talking about passages from John 13:1 right through to John 17:29. And I would absolutely strongly recommend you read them. We sometimes look at it as different events. And actually, it is one event, and Jesus telling us, teaching us, showing us a vision for community, Christian community, or vision of church. We're given a peek through the window, viewing some of the real private teaching that Jesus and his disciples had before he was crucified. He teaches really important aspects of what it means to be a follower of Jesus and how we should live. Because it's not just enough to say, I follow Jesus. It's also about the impact that has on our lives and the people around us. I do want to pick up a couple of points, but before I do that, I want to put some here and now 2023 context. And here it is. Let me say this before I go through the points. Personally, I, Andy Mitchell, never annoy people, never forget to pull my jumper down. I never cause an argument. I never get angry. I'm never stubborn. I never do anything wrong. I never get upset by anyone. I never make poor decisions. People never irritate me. I never sulk. And I never throw my dummy out of the pram, nor ever, ever take my football home. And if you believe any of that, well, you probably don't know me. Graham, you don't have to reinforce it, though. Yes, absolutely. It just isn't true. I'm just not that kind of that person. Yet, I want to be. Well, I want to be somebody who doesn't annoy people, who does look at, you know, who does deal with the situations in my life. I want to be that person. And the people who probably know this are the people who work with me, the people who are my friends, and my wife, quite simply. So if you do want to know anything about that, my wife will gladly share that with you. I've given her permission to as well. And let's be clear here. It's not that I get up in the morning, and I want you to know this, and I think this applies to most people. I don't get up in the morning with the intention of doing any of this stuff. I doubt any of us do. But how often do we fall into one of these categories? How easy it is for us just to slip into that. You know, I spoke to somebody very recently, and they said, spend more time reading the Bible and praying. And I gave it a try. And I still do it. I still do it. So in the context that even in 2023, we are still fallen people. And yet Jesus had far higher hopes for us. Actually, Jesus, this is the mind-blowing thing. Jesus sees beyond any of that stuff. Absolutely. He sees us like he sees himself. Jesus said in John 13, 34 to 35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And I have preached on this before. But this week, God really spoke to me about this. When Jesus said it, people were no better at the stuff, at doing good stuff, than they are today. You know, Jesus was talking to broken people in these private conversations that we get a window view of watching Jesus' teachings. They were broken people. And Jesus wasn't naive to the Andy Mitchells of the world and others of the world, yet he did not give this command as some unachievable goal. He gave it because he knows it is possible for us through our relationship, and that's the important bit, through our relationship with him. And don't get me wrong, this is not a magic wand event. You know, God commands and we do, because, you know, how many people of us do? I don't. But I so want to. I so want to be better. I so want to be more like Jesus in my life. And that's the challenge that Jesus lays out. And I want to read it again, actually. Let me read this again. It's John 13, 34 to 35. And I'm not saying there is homework. I'm not saying that you should go and read it. But if you at all feel curious, I would encourage you to read it again. But I'm going to read it now. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. There's a challenge. It's about changing our heart, which changes our priorities. 1 John 2, 15 to 17 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, desires of the flesh, and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And in light of John 17, verse 15, my prayer is not what you My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth, as you sent me into the world. I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that you too may be sanctified. And you might be thinking, well, what does sanctified mean? I'm going to talk about that in a second. But that's the real tension. We are living in a world that we are constantly, constantly tempted by. And Jesus says, I lived in the world. You must live in the world. You're not of the world, but you must live in it. So, what does this all mean? So Jesus said he sanctified himself so that, Andy, can be sanctified. So sanctified is a word we don't hear every day. Has anyone heard? Does that get used every day? I might hear about 100 times in the well every day. Not. Sanctified is a word that we don't necessarily know. We don't hear every day. It simply means set aside, separate from. So we are in the world, but because Jesus separated us, we are set aside from all the stuff of the world. And this does not just work of Andy, it works of all of us. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying this. He came and lived in the world, so we have no option. We have to live in the world too. He moved around, he talked to people, he ate meals, he loved people, and he healed people. He got dirty. He washed. Dare I say, I'm sure he went to the toilet. He talked to people in power, and he talked to people with no power. He had every opportunity to get as angry and frustrated as we do. However, we do not belong to the world. What I mean by that is that we don't belong to the world. We belong to God. We are his. How many times have you heard people at the front of any church say, we are his? And then we walk out of through the doors, jump in our car or walk home, and we don't feel like that at all. First phone call. Where have you put me keys? And suddenly all that stress starts coming up and we start getting angry and we start getting all upset. So we don't need to love the stuff of the world because as believers, Jesus has given us commandment to love God. We don't need to be trapped by pride and desire, whether that is for the next football match or the holiday or nice house or the respect we so often yearn for. All this stuff might make us feel better for a short time, but it's not lasting. It's our relationship with Jesus that will still be there when the money runs out. When everything else goes wrong, his love is still there. And I'm sure we can all think of things going wrong in our lives. His love is there. He never lets us down. But that doesn't mean that we don't go through stuff. Don't confuse that. So just to quickly recap, we are called to live in the world, be surrounded by all the stuff, just like the news headlines we started with, but to live differently. You know, how the heck can I do that? I hear you ask. Well, Jesus says we don't have to do it. He has done it for us, but we have to live in him. We have to be in a relationship with him. He is not of the world, but he was in it. If we are in him, we are still in the world, but we are not part of it. To cut a long story short, if we are having a relationship with Jesus, if we're close to him, we are in him. So this is a never-ending tension that we live in, seeking to be close enough to Jesus to enable us to love others. And let's be clear, this starts with the people in this room. Love one another. We will not always get it right, but we are called to continue to seek Jesus so that he can continue to change us. Why does he ask such incredibly difficult things of us? He asks us to love each other because he is love. He asks us to be like him because he wants a relationship with us. And let's face it, it's good for us. It creates an environment, because the environment we operate in as a church, that we operate in at the well or in any of our ministries or at home, that's important. Jesus wants us to operate in an environment where we can flourish. So think about it this way. If we only hung around with the people we liked and got on with the people we liked, and I'm not talking about if we feel nervous about talking to others, that's different. We would be a church that is no better than a lot of cliques. The foundation of Jesus' community is not on things of this world, not on money, gold, buildings, Xboxes, smartwatches, smartphones, or even a nice holiday in the sun. It's built on a unique relationship. And that relationship we have as believers with Jesus and through him with each other. So they both have to happen. Our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with fellow believers. One is not exclusive of the other. But Jesus puts priority on our relationship with him. He says, the first commandment is to love your God. The most important commandment, should I say. A group of people in County Durham caught giving stuff away. Right, sorry, I need to put that on. I thought we've looked at headlines, and I don't know about you, but headlines and news headlines tend to depress me quite a lot. And I do avoid the news now and then. But I thought, wouldn't it be really wonderful if this was a headline instead? That this was in our local newspaper, that this was in the national newspaper, that this was on the news, TV news. Helping a local community, a group of people in County Durham. Actually, Ed, would you like to shout the people down for us? Helping a local community, a group of people in County Durham were caught giving stuff away. Helping people in the local area and loving each other. One witness said, they knocked on my door and offered to cut my grass for no reason. Are they insane? When questioned, a spokesperson from West Auckland Vineyard Church said, it was because of the love of Jesus. What an amazing headline that would be. By the way, it's not in the newspaper, I mocked that up, just for the record. I really genuinely, this is a bit of a self-disclosure, I really struggle with people. I really do. But when I became a believer, God put something in me to love. I mean, I'll tell you how much I struggled with people. I moved to Hamsley. If anyone's been to Hamsley Village, it's basically a place of holiday homes. That's what Hamsley Village is. And I didn't have to speak to anyone all week. And then I found Jesus, or Jesus found me, and suddenly something in my heart. Now, I don't do it right. I get things wrong. I think we all get things wrong. But one thing, in a world of chaos, is us working together to build relationships with each other. And I'm not talking about the ones that we're okay with, the ones we're comfortable with. It's the relationships with the people that we do struggle with. You know, maybe the ones that when you walk to McCall's, if you live in West Auckland, someone from the church, and you put your head down and you think, I hope they don't see me. Maybe that's that person. I just want to pray, really. I really do. And Lord, I just pray for West Auckland Vineyard Church, Lord. And I pray for visitors. That we continue to build our relationship with you, Jesus. That is the starting point. And Lord, through that, we continue to build our relationships with each other.